Hey there, welcome to Following the Truth. My name is Gary Zimak. Today is Monday, July the 6th. And boy, what a day it has been already. It's been one of those days. And, you know, you never know what you're going to deal with. And I'm so glad I'm able to record this program, because for a while it wasn't looking like this was going to happen. I was running into some technical issues before I started the show, some microphone issues, but it all looks good now. But the big thing was we had this storm roll through. I love it because the weather forecaster said, I live in southern New Jersey, right over the bridge from Philly. And the weather forecaster said, well, the storms are not going to be too serious. They could be strong, but not really severe or whatever. You know, so you just never know what's going to happen. And I've been down this road so many times. Anyway, to make a long story short, we did have a thunderstorm and torrential rain. So we got this tree next to our house, right? And we lost one of the branches a little while ago. Fortunately, it didn't do any damage. Today, we lost the other one. It's a fruit tree, a good sized tree. It's larger than the house. And guess what it landed on? Yeah, it landed on the house. Now, thank God, and I am so grateful that God spared us with this one. It doesn't appear to have damaged the house. It's still balanced against the house. And I have somebody coming tomorrow to try to get rid of it. But there doesn't appear to be any leak. There doesn't appear to be structural damage. And there's no windows broken or anything. And it fell like right over the windows. But man, it still shakes me up a little bit. It was really unexpected. And I am just so fortunate. I feel so fortunate that there doesn't appear to be any damage, because you just never know what's going to happen with something like this. But I am here. We're going to do a show. We're going to look at the mass readings from today's mass. Oh, by the way, I'm sorry. I didn't even ask how you were doing. I hope you're doing well. It's just, you know, these are just crazy, crazy times. I want to look at the gospel and the first reading from today's daily mass. Today is the feast of, or it's actually an optional memorial for Saint Maria Goretti. If you don't know her story, take a few minutes and look it up. It's an incredible story of someone who was willing to die rather than to do anything wrong. I mean, she's a young girl. It's just, the whole story is incredible. I'm not going to tell it now, but it is a really, really incredible story. But I hope you're doing well. We will do these mass readings, but as I said, these are some weird times in which we live. You know, you can't predict what's going to happen next. And then, but you know what? I'm getting sidetracked, but we'll pray in a minute. But there's a lesson here. I really believe the Spirit's leading me to talk about this. The lesson is we can be prepared to defend against the coronavirus, right? We can be prepared to avoid the protests that are taking place around the country. And in the meantime, a storm can come through and a tree can fall in your house, right? I mean, it just goes to show you, we are so not in control. And even when we try to prepare for things, and it's a good idea to prepare. I'm not saying it's not a good idea. It's good to be prepared for potential things that could go wrong. But it just reminds us that ultimately we are not the ones calling the shots in this life. God's in charge. And we can only control to a limited extent. So let's use our brains, let's use our abilities to do what we can to prepare to live the way God wants us to live, using our common sense, but at the same time recognizing that ultimately He's the one in charge. He's the one calling the shots. He's the one who is in control, and we're not. I wish there was easier ways to learn this other than having trees fall on your house and pandemics spreading around the world, but you know, however He wants to make it happen, I guess that's the way it's going to happen. Why don't we take a break and let's pray now. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for the reminders, the constant reminders, Father, that you are the one in control. This incident I had today really spared us. We were spared any major damage, no major structural damage, no injuries. The rain is stopping. There's no leaks. I have somebody coming out tomorrow to get rid of the tree. Thank you, Father, for being so good to us. And thank you for reminding all of us when we turn on the news, when we realize that we ultimately can only control so much. Father, thank you for reminding us that you're God and we're not. Now, with that in mind, we know that you have a role for us to play. There's things you want us to do, Father. So please guide us. Let us know what you would like us to do today, to love you, to serve you, to be your hands and feet in the world. Father, we lift up our country. We lift up the world and pray for peace. Pray for an end to division. We know that would please you, Father. We pray that we can make a difference in the world. We pray that we can avoid sin, that we could learn to truly love one another, that we could always choose your will over our will, Father. We pray, Father, for an end to the coronavirus. We pray for an end to the division and conflict that we see, not just in the United States, but throughout the world. And we pray for peace. We pray for unity among the church, in the church, among various denominations, among various political parties, different nationalities, different races. We pray for complete and total peace and unity, Father, the way you plan for this world to be. Father God, I ask you to use me today as your instrument. Please give me the words. I dedicate this program to you. I ask you to guide my thoughts and my words. And please open all of our minds to hear what you have to say and to be willing to put it into practice. Father, we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Excuse me. Coughing fit. Well, that works really good. Excuse me. That works really good on live radio. Well, not live. Pardon me. That's pretty pathetic, right? Hey, I had to take a sip of my coffee. I think I'm better now. That was really rough. That was unexpected. I came out of the prayer and I couldn't stop. I just felt this cough coming on. I'm Gary Zimak, and this show is rapidly going downhill. I want to thank you for listening to the program. I want to remind you that if you want to find out more about the work that I do, please visit my website, which is followingthetruth.com, followingthetruth.com. While you're there, you can sign up for my daily email devotional, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. You can do that just by going to followingthetruth.com and clicking on the button. So today I want to look at the Mass readings for Monday of the 14th week in Ordinary Time. I said I'm going to read the Gospel. Let me start with the first reading. Sometimes I do the Gospel first, but I think there's a few points I want to make in the first reading of today's Mass. It's from the book of the prophet Hosea, and it begins in chapter 2, verse 16. Thus says the Lord, I will allure her. I will lead her into the desert and speak to her heart. She shall respond there as in the days of her youth, when she came up from the land of Egypt. Now, God is talking here to the prophet Hosea about the people of Israel. And when I went to Mass today, what really stood out for me was the idea of him leading the people into the desert and speaking to her heart. And in fact, I wrote about this in my Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled email devotional today because I thought it was such a great message. And I generally ask the Holy Spirit when I go to Mass, Holy Spirit, when I hear these readings, let me know what I'm supposed to focus on. And I would recommend you do that as well. You know, concentrate on one particular message, something that sounds really strong to you, something you feel God's trying to tell you. And this is what he really, I felt, was trying to impress on my heart, and I want to share it with you. He leads us into the desert so he could speak to our heart. And I think one of the things we need to remember, I would say it's safe to assume, it's safe to say that we are in the desert right now. With all that's going on in the world, it's so crazy, and so many of us feel like we are in the desert. We're being tested. Our faith is radically being tested, but it gives us this opportunity for God to speak to our heart. Had we not been going through this COVID-19 pandemic, I'm not saying I like it. I'm not saying that God willed this to happen, because he doesn't will sickness or suffering. He doesn't. He doesn't will it. He doesn't will evil or sickness. But he allows it to happen sometimes so he can bring a greater good out of it. Now, as much as I don't like this pandemic, and I shared my wife's struggle with anxiety because of the pandemic, it has not been fun. It continues to be difficult. It continues to be challenging. And I know many people who are really suffering from this. But what this gives us is an opportunity to really listen to God, to pay attention, to be forced to slow down. Because many of us are running around all the time, and we didn't have the time to really listen to what God had to say to us. Right? I mean, come on, let's be honest. We really didn't want to slow down. Maybe we'd give him a little time here or there, but many of us were so busy that we didn't take the time to spend with the Lord and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? What are you trying to say to me? And then when things slow down, see, this is what he's doing, as in the 23rd Psalm. He makes me lie down in green pastures, like the shepherd makes the sheep lie down. Well, that's what's happening to us right now. So when we are in the desert, we're a captive audience. And we're like, all right, Lord, talk to me. I'm here. I need you. You know, we realize when we go through something like this, how much we need him. And that's one of the important things. So what I would recommend to you is, as you go through this, or as you go through any crisis in your life, maybe you have an injury, maybe you have a chronic illness or some sort of a rehabilitation period you're going through. Maybe you're not working and you have more time on your hands. Use that time to spend with God in prayer, in reading scripture, some good spiritual reading, maybe trying to get to the sacraments, to Mass and to confession a little bit more than you normally did, so that you're not wasting the time. Because when the world returns to normal, and I don't know when that's going to be, but when the world returns to normal, and not everybody's walking around in a mask and having their activities restricted, we could easily lose sight or take our focus off of the Lord. And that would be a huge mistake. So right now, he's got a captive audience. Many people are praying now more than they ever did before. You know, I thought as a family, we prayed a decent amount, and we did. But we are praying more now than we did before, that's for sure. This virus really brought it out in us, and we're really keeping it up, and it's a good thing. It's bearing fruit. So know that sometimes God sends you into the desert, or lets you go into the desert, so that he can really let you know that he loves you. And I know you look at that and you say, well, look, can't you come up with a better way? Let me know you love me. He operates on a much higher level than we do. He gets things that we don't get. I'm not going to express my love for somebody by taking them into the middle of the desert or making them go through some problems. But God operates on a much higher level than we ever can. You know, and he can often do his best work while we're in the desert or in a cave or incapacitated in somehow. But ask him, what are you trying to speak to me? What do you want me to learn? What do you want me to learn from this pandemic? What changes do I need to make in my life? Do I need to pray more? Do I need to relinquish control more? What are you asking from me, Lord? And I'll answer. Whole answer, maybe not in the way you expected. It'll come with a thought, maybe a word from a friend, maybe something you'll hear on a podcast like this one, maybe something you'll read. But he wants to communicate with you. And during those times when you're in the desert, or when you're struggling, or when you really feel broken, he can do some of his best work. Okay, so continuing with the reading. On that day, the Lord, says the Lord, she shall call me my husband and never again my Baal, which is like a false god. I will espouse you to me forever. I will espouse you in right and in justice, in love and in mercy. I will espouse you in fidelity, and you shall know the Lord. So here's what we need to remember. And this is, it sounds like such a lame-o message, but it's such a good and important message. And one that we, I don't think we get this message, especially when we begin to worry about our lives, about different things. And that's that God loves you. That's the message. God loves you. He created you because otherwise, he created you because he loves you. And he wanted to share his joy with you. That joy begins in this life and it will continue on in heaven. But it definitely begins here. If he didn't love you, he would not have created you. If he didn't love you, he would not have sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for you, to open up the gates of heaven. And I think we need to remind ourselves of this fact a lot more than we think we need. We need to remind ourselves of it a lot more than we typically do. That's what I'm trying to say. God loves me. Sure, I know that God loves me. But do you really? I found in my life that to be such a foundational message. That is such an incredibly important message for me to remember at all times, that God loves me. God loves me. Because when I remember that, anything that happens, I realize, is somehow an expression of that love. And you kind of have to work backwards. You have to work backwards with that sometimes. Well, this really stinks. I don't like the fact that a tree almost fell on my house. But, you know, somehow, Lord, you're trying to teach me something because I know you love me. And, you know, you don't have to feel it in your heart. But there are times when you really do feel it. There are times when I really do feel it. For the most part, I do feel it now. But for the longest time, I didn't feel it. But I had a desire to really understand better how much God loves me. And the Holy Spirit really helped that love to be poured out into my heart. That's what St. Paul says. That the love of God is poured out into our heart by the Holy Spirit. So if you really want to feel the love of God and be able to love with his love, you know, love him, love other people, you need the Holy Spirit. How do you do that? Come, Holy Spirit. That's a good prayer. Pray it every day. Pray it first thing in the morning and then throughout the day. And every time you pray, come, Holy Spirit, I give you permission to work in me, to control my thoughts and my deeds and my emotions. Say thank you. Thank you to God for sending the Holy Spirit, and thank you to the Holy Spirit for working in you, because you know that he's doing it. That's a prayer that always gets answered. Okay, let's look at the gospel from today's Mass, Matthew 9, verses 18 through 26. While Jesus was speaking, an official came forward, knelt down before him, and said, "My daughter has just died, but come, lay your hand on her, and she will live." Now, I'm going to challenge you on this one, okay? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. That's Hebrews 13:8. That's scripturally solid. That is a truth of our faith. Jesus does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He told us that he will be with us until the end of time. So what he did then, there's no reason to believe that he can't do now. I mean, that's a fact. Okay? When Jesus was still speaking, an official came forward, knelt down before him, and said, "My daughter has just died, but come lay your hand on her, and she will live." Picture that happening to a family member of yours, or a friend. Do you have that kind of faith to go to Jesus and say, "Lord, come, and I offer up this person to you who just died, but if you touch them, I know they'll live"? Let's be honest here. Do we have anywhere near that kind of faith? Now, I'm not even going to go for all the way, but are we even close to that kind of faith? I think that's, I mean, let that register with you. That's the kind of faith that we want to have. I'm not saying that you pray over dead people and he's always going to raise them from the dead. You know, it has happened. I remember a priest telling a story like that one time. This priest was, he's no longer alive, but he was an assistant at a parish I was at. And he was saying one day he prayed over a dead man in a hospital. And the guy sat up. And the priest said he didn't expect God to answer the prayer. But that really stunned him. And then the guy came back to life and he ended up dying shortly thereafter. But that really impacted this priest. Let's pray for that kind of faith. Not that it'll always happen, not that it'll ever happen, but can you imagine how strong your faith will be if you believe that Jesus Christ can raise the dead? And I'm not talking in a spiritual sense. I'm talking in a physical sense. That's the kind of faith I want. Jesus rose and followed the man. So did his disciples. Now, he's going to respond to the man's requests. Didn't say anything, goes to follow him, right? And we get interrupted here. Something else happens. A woman suffering hemorrhages for 12 years came up behind him and touched the tassel on his cloak. She said to herself, "If only I could touch his cloak, I shall be cured." Jesus turned around and saw her and said, "Courage, daughter, your faith has saved you." And from that hour, the woman was cured. Now look, we have two people here who said the mere touch of Jesus, they believed, the official for his daughter who had just died, and the woman who was suffering from the hemorrhages for 12 years, both believed that a simple touch of Jesus would cure their problem and would give them a miracle. That's faith. Are we at that point? Now, maybe you are. If you are, good for you. I know I'm not at that point. When Jesus arrived at the official's house and saw the flute players in the crowd who were making commotion, he said, "Go away. The girl is not dead, but sleeping." Imagine how that went over. And they ridiculed him. Yeah, I bet they did. And by the way, keep that in mind too. If people are going to ridicule and laugh at Jesus, I think in Mark's gospel with this story, it says people laughed at him. If they're going to laugh at Jesus, you think they're not going to laugh at you when you try to display some faith or optimism, especially in today's world? People are going to laugh at you, but that's okay because then you're going to be like Jesus. They ridiculed him. When the crowd was put out, he came and took her by the hand, and the little girl arose. I bet they stopped ridiculing him then. And news of this spread throughout all that land. Yeah, I bet it did. So look at what happened here. Jesus raises this little girl from the dead, and he did the same thing with Lazarus. He also did the same thing with himself. He rose from the dead. Jesus can do miracles with a simple touch. And I think that sometimes we feel that we have to hit him with a lot of words, and we have to go on and on and on. And my prayer is only 2 minutes. It's got to be 25 minutes for it to be effective. No, that's not true. A very simple request to Jesus for healing, for a miracle, for an intervention, such as, "Lord, help me," or "Please heal me, Lord," or "Heal my daughter," or "Heal my mother." That's enough. You know, and you should get used to praying to him. But it can be prayers of praise. And one of these days we're going to talk about how important it is to praise the Lord, to praise him and bless him and give him glory and the honor that's due him, as opposed to saying, "Lord, okay, here's my list. I need this, 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 and this." You know, we just go through our list. He wants us to ask for things. Don't get me wrong. But I think more of our prayer should be centered on praise and thanksgiving. I mean, it's good to spend time with him. But if you need a miracle in your life, I would say be persistent, keep asking, but you just don't have to keep saying the same thing over and over as if he's not paying attention. He heard you the first time. But let's pray for that kind of faith that these two people exhibited today. The faith that believes that he could raise somebody from the dead and the faith that believes he could cure a medical condition that persisted for 12 years. If only he could be touched, or the hem of his garment could be touched. That's the kind of faith I want to have. So there's two things we need to do for that kind of faith to happen. And we could get it. It's a process, takes time, but we could. And the Lord wants us to have that kind of faith. The first thing we need to do is pray for an increase of faith. Make sure you pray for an increase in faith every day. Lord, help me to believe. Help me to trust you more. Please increase my faith. The second thing you have to do is use the faith you have. And this came up when his disciples said, Jesus, increase our faith. He went on to say, if you had the faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this tree, get up and move into the ocean. Actually, I could use that right now with this tree that's leaning up against my house. But you know what he's saying? Use the faith you have. Ask for big things. Be bold when you pray. Don't hold back. Run the risk of him either delaying or maybe answering in a different way. A lot of us are scared sometimes. I'm afraid to ask for this complete healing because if the Lord doesn't come through, it's going to weaken my faith. No, go ahead. Give him the benefit of the doubt. Pray for a total and complete miraculous healing. Let him work out the details, but pray. Ask big. Be bold when you pray, because when he comes through, and I've seen him come through so many times, that's how your faith grows, okay? So do that today. Shoot for that kind of faith. Mediocre faith, that's not what we should aim for. We want to be strong. We want to be people of strong faith in Jesus Christ, because he is a miracle worker. All right. Hey, listen, I'm going to run now. Do me a favor. If you could go to followingthetruth.com and consider making a donation through PayPal, you just go to followingthetruth.com, click on donate. I would really appreciate it, especially since I got this tree bill I have to deal with right now. Honestly, it would really help me if you're able to do that. If you can't, please pray for me. But in the meantime, know that your donations help keep this show on the air. It keeps my ministry going strong, and it keeps me able to pay the bills and support my family. And I thank you. Followingthetruth.com is the place to go. Have a wonderful night, God willing. I plan to be back with you here tomorrow. I hope you can join me on Following the Truth.